Brother Randy Lamb and I go back, and Peggy and I were at Duval Station Baptist Church in Jacksonville 19 years ago.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning. That I saw you, yeah. That was really something, man. And he still lies as good as he ever did.
Amen.
And he'll probably tell you a few while he's here. But Brother Randy, we're glad to have you this week. And I know God's got some things on our hearts for us, so you preach and bring God's word, okay? Come on, brother. Y'all give him a hand, amen?
Go ahead back there, brother. Y'all know this one. I've sung it before. Y'all sing with me. Go ahead. Come on. Oh, yeah. Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while others thou art calling, oh Jesus, do Praise the Lord. Since the last time I was here and saw you guys, I got a brand new kidney. And so now I got a new liver, I got a new kidney. I asked Brother Steve, since I got all these other people's parts, do I need to get saved again? He said, well, if you get a heart transplant, you might want to think about that. Amen. Because I don't know where all these pieces have been. I had no idea. There ain't no telling what they've been doing. So if I kind of act out a little funny, yeah, that's what it is. Amen. I did get messed up a little the other day on my medicine. Kind of got a little confused. However, I am free of fleeing ticks and heartworms for the next 3 months. Amen. So it's all good. I'm going to preach a very simple message today. You've heard this verse. You know this verse by heart. You know everything that I'm going to tell you. But there may be someone here today who does not know that there is a God that died on the cross for their sins and set them free from the law of sin and death, and they can be saved today. And I don't hear a whole lot of that much in churches anymore. People are talking about the president, and they're talking about the economy, and they're talking about this and that. And I'm going to tell you something. It's still the cross. Amen. It's still the cross. John 3:16. Everybody knows this verse. Let me read this to you today. I'm going to ask you to stand your feet in the honor of reading of God's word. Everybody knows this verse. You can say it with me because I know you know it. But I want to look at some things, just the end of that one verse. I'll just share that one verse here, and then we'll go to a few more of the verses behind it, which most folk never see. We claim and we preach and we quote John 3:16, but there's some other stuff in there. It's pretty good. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Bless this time we have now. We'll praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the 1800s, there was an old farm schoolhouse. Man, a bunch of mean old boys, just mean and nasty, big old jokers. They were probably 20 years old, still in ninth grade. Amen. And they was all piled up in that school, and they were bad. I mean, they was mean. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on. When I was in ninth grade to 11th grade in my high school, we had 26 teachers in ag. FFA and all that. Oh, they finally sent a psychologist from the University of Florida to interview all of us and see if we could make it. Now, my best friend Danny McMullen, we was always in trouble together, amen? And me and McMullen, we were on the farm. So we sat there with that psychologist, and he asked all these questions about why we want to be in FFA and in ag. He said, well, brothers, you got to understand the dynamics and the prolifics of farm versus product versus labor, and you got to have a product, and you got to use nematicide and fungicide, and you got to da-da-da. And he was like, really? Yep. Guess who got back in ag? Me and McMullen. We walked into class that first morning, and they had books and tables, and they had chairs. See, we done destroyed all them, amen? You don't get, they had one of them accordion doors. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Big accordion thing that separates one big room and makes it two. I remember walking into ag one morning, and that thing was going, and it's huge. It's as wide as this room. And they were shut, and it was like a vacuum. Every time it would come through, it sucked everything in the hallway into that room. Whoa! And then it would shoot folk out when it went the other way. Amen? It was a hoot. We had a big time. This schoolhouse had a bunch of mean boys, and they'd really had trouble with finding a teacher. So they got a teacher, a schoolmaster from Boston, Massachusetts. He came in on the train one day, had his cane in his hand and a little briefcase. And he walked over to the schoolhouse, and he began to ring the bell. Ding, ding, all the boys come. Here they come. Oh, they got a new schoolmaster. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. They come in there and sat down. Some of them getting hung in that chair because they're so big, you know. They're just getting hung up in it where they can't hardly get out. They're all giggling and poking and laughing. Finally, he reached behind his desk, and he pulled out one of them yardsticks. It looked like it was about 12 feet long. And he held it like a samurai warrior. And he raised it up over his head. He went, wham, on that desk. It went in 50 pieces. Every kid was looking at him. He reached back there and grabbed another one. He said, I have hundreds of them. He said, if you lie in my class, 10 lashes. You cheat in my class, 10 lashes. You be late, 10 lashes. Everybody understand? Well, everything went good for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. One day, one of the big boys came running and said, Schoolmaster, somebody has stolen my sandwich out of my bag. Ding, ding, ding. He started ringing that bell. All the boys come in and said, oh, Lord, what happened? Oh, they were shaking. He said, Ben here has lost his sandwich. Someone, he had two sandwiches in his bag. Someone has stolen his sandwich. I want to know who it is. Well, nobody moved. He said, I said, I want to know, or I'll just start right here at the front and work my way to the back with my ruler. Little kid raised his hand. Come here, son. Came forward. He was emaciated, a little shirt. You could see the ribs sticking through his little shirt. He said, son, did you take that sandwich? He said, yes, sir. He said, why'd you do that? He said, I'm starving. He said, my daddy's not working. And well, all we have is a little meal in the bucket at the house, and all mama can do is just make a little corn pone. That's all we got. He said, he's always got two sandwiches, and he never eats the other one. And I was so hungry, I just wanted a sandwich. Schoolmaster said, son, I'm sorry, but I have to give you 10 lashes. You stole. He said, take your shirt off and prepare yourself for 10 lashes. The little boy took his shirt off, and you could see every rib in that little kid. He said, lay yourself across that desk. He laid across that desk, and that schoolmaster raised up that thing. All of a sudden, he heard, stop! Stop! You become the biggest boy in the class. And he walked down there, and he shoved him, took his shirt off. Rippling muscles, kind of like me. It ain't that funny, come on. He said, give them to me. I'll take them. That schoolmaster took that thing and he hit that boy once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 lashes across his back. On that 10th lash, that young man fell to the floor. That little boy walked over there and picked up his jacket. And he put it over that big boy. He said, Joe, he said, thank you. He said, thank you for taking my lashes. He said, I don't think I could have done it. You say, man, that's the most horrible story I ever heard. I got one worse. There was a Savior that came to this planet. And he pushed you aside. And he took your 10 lashes and times 1,000. So you wouldn't have to. Have I got your attention? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want you to understand that phrase there, or that little word, little teeny tiny word that says so, is an intensive, 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 expressly intensive word. It means so, 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 so. God so, 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 so loved you. He didn't just, hey, I love you. You ever say, I love you? No, he loves you. And he died on a cross for you. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice he says everlasting life. Then in verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You get that? He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Now, let me explain something to you. You and I are born into sin. Amen. Adam and Eve, because of what they did in the garden, we have a sin nature that is in us until we die. We will have it till the day we leave this planet. This body will go to the grave with that sin nature in it. You got it. I got it. He's got it. All God's children got it. Everybody's got a sin nature. You can't go nowhere and get it taken out. You can't have surgery. You can't go to Walmart and buy something to squash it out. It is in you and of you, and you will have it till you die. Now, the problem is that every now and then God turns a light on you, in you, of you, and exposes you. You know what I'm talking about. When you do that thing, that's that sin nature. When you say that thing, that's that sin nature. When you think that thing, that's that sin nature. And God goes, like a football field, just light everywhere. What do critters do when you turn the light on? Amen? Now, hello. Now, would you believe some folk run away from the church and some folk run to the church? Now, just because they run to the church doesn't mean that anything's going to happen to them necessarily great. But listen, the dumbest human I know on this planet got to know that when they're in sin and God exposes that to them, they're going to find something to try to figure out what it is. If you got an ache, you're going to go to the doctor. You got a pain, you're going to take a pill. You're going to find some way to deal with that issue. And that's what some people want to do. And the Bible says some, no, he says some don't. He said, let me pick back up here. Let me find my verse. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Can I tell you we're evil? Come on. You talk, not me. Okay. All right. We'll ask God to send us a fax of your unevil deeds this past week. Amen. And then we'll bring them to church and say, send up, Mary. I got your fax. Here it is. You want me to read it? No. You know what you do. You know what you say. I know what I do. I know what I say. I know what I think. I know what happens when that car pulls out in front of me on the interstate and goes slow. You know how many times I repented on the way to church today? Now, I didn't ask God to forgive me for running that one off the road. That was their fault. Their fault. Come on, man. You got to take ownership of some things. Amen. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I am a little crazy. That's true. Love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For every one practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Nobody wants to have their deeds done or be seen in the light. They want them done in the dark. Amen. Can I tell you everything every man has ever done will come to light one day? Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, you will stand and you will give an account. That is a legal term, which means you're going to be your own lawyer. You're going to get a chance to tell God what for. You're going to get your shot. Some people might even call that an appeal. You know how we do in our legal system. We appeal for the next 40 years before they actually deal with the sentence. Not God. Yeah, go ahead. Check that book one more time. Let's make sure that name. Let's just double check. Just go ahead. Not there, Lord. Okay, God bless you. I've never known you. Depart from me. That phrase literally translates, no, I have never known you. Not at any time have I ever known you. I love to hear, but while I was praying to God, I'm like, which God was that? What God was you praying to? Because I've heard some of them folk in Hollywood get up and talk about their God. They might be talking about their Lamborghini. I don't know. There's several things, very quickly, I want to share with you this morning. Again, nothing outrageous, nothing out in left field that's going to blow your mind, but there's a couple things here that I want you to see about God's love, because I know I don't want to go too long this morning. I want you to get this. Number one. Several quick thoughts. Number one, God's love is amazing. God's love is amazing. You say amazing, yeah. Oh, we sing Amazing Grace. Let me explain something to you. It's not only amazing. That's the craziest thing I have ever heard, that God would love me. I know me. I know who I am. I know what I think. You see the public Randy Lamb. Can I go ahead and miss a misconception? Has anybody ever said to you, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Yeah. That ain't exactly correct. You need to have Jesus, but your relationship needs to be public. You need to have a public. I've heard people say, that's pretty personal, Brother Randy. That's just between me and God. No, it's not. It's between you and everybody you meet about your God. Otherwise, God wouldn't have saved you. It wouldn't have been so amazing. Well, we love that amazing grace. We love it, we love it, we love it. But sometimes we sing it, and we don't even know what we're singing. God's love is amazing. But my friend, it's incomprehensible. It's unbelievable that a holy God would leave the throne of heaven and come to earth and do what he did on a cross for my stinking hell-deserving sin. Have you ever really just thought about that? Think about who you are and what you do and how thankful you really are. I'm praising God today that my sins have been forgotten. Past, present, future. God didn't just cover them with the blood. The Bible says he chucked them away. If you cover up something, there's something under the covering. And that's what he did to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. He just covered their sin. But the day he died on the cross, the day death died, he took them away. And he threw them into the sea of forgetfulness. I want you to understand something. It's amazing. But here's the deal. Why? Because of the Christ. Prophesied for over 3,000 years. Came to this planet. My friend, born in a manger. Everybody knows the story. Lived his life. Spent 33 years on this planet. Ministered, healed, taught. Rose, raised people from the dead. Did everything. Talked about what he was going to do. And he did it. Did everything that was prophesied. He did it. Said he's coming back. He's going to do it. That's why God's love is amazing. I'm so reminded of the Garden of Gethsemane when the Bible says that Jesus Christ was in the garden praying and they came looking for him, over 200 men. Actually, that troop right there had 1,000 men, 750 on foot, 250 in the cavalry, to get one man. But only 200 of them came into the garden. And the Bible says in John, when they said, where is this Jesus? And the Bible says, the great I am walked up and said, I am. And 200 soldiers fell over backwards onto the ground. Well, I'd have loved to have been there to see what they did when they got up. Who pushed me? Well, I don't know, but he pushed all of us because we all fell down, dog. The I am said, I am. And them old boys hit the ground. Happens to folk all the time. I could tell you story after story. I'm not going to keep you with that, about some of that stuff. But the Christ, that's why. But also because of the cross. If you've ever heard me preach, if you've heard me talk about the cross. The Bible says they took Jesus before Pilate. Pilate was a Roman governor, had the power over life and death. You die, you live, you die. He could point a finger. Bible says they took him before Pilate, and Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. There was no fault in the life of Jesus. Never lied, never hated, never lusted, never sinned. He was the perfect man. But the Bible says that he said, all right, take him and scourge him. You've heard me talk about this. The scourge is a piece of wood about that long with a piece of leather about that long with 8 other pieces coming off, making 9 pieces. And on the end of those pieces of leather are little pieces of fish bone and pellets of iron so shaped that when a soldier would look at the bare back of a man and he'd shake it and he'd sling it and it would wrap around and he would jerk it. 9 chunks of flesh would be pulled from a person's body 39 times 9. They came down on the back of Jesus and pulled the whip back. They came down on his back and pulled the whip back. That's amazing. He could say, angels, come and consume these men with fire who've touched my brow. Earth, open up and swallow these men. The Bible says he opened not his mouth. Why? It's you. Because of me and every person you know. That's what Jesus Christ did. They beat him with their fist. They beat him with a thing called a reed, which is the size of a little league baseball bat. They jerked out pieces, chunks of his beard, spit upon him, put a crown of thorns on his head, spikes about that long, and they said, Hail Jesus, King of the Jews! Hail Jesus, King of the Jews! They took him back before Pilate. Pilate examined him again. He said, I find no fault in this man. There was no fault in the life of Jesus. And then he said, behold the man. If there ever was a man that lived on this earth, his name was Jesus Christ. And I ain't talking about purple hair and earring in his nose. I'm talking about a man's man. They took him to a hill called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. You either went there to die or you went to see someone die. They had a thief on the left, a thief on the right. These men were thieves. According to Roman law, they deserved to die. But Jesus said, no man takes my life. I freely give my life. The Bible says he was crucified on that cross and buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, we just celebrated the resurrection Sunday. I don't call it Easter anymore. Easter comes from the word estra, which is estrogen, which literally has nothing to do with the cross. We call it Resurrection Sunday at my church, or Resurrection Week, or Holy Week, because that's what it is. The Bible says that stone rolled away. 12 big old honking soldiers, a patch of cement with the king's signet in it, so that man couldn't be stolen, and yet he still got a... I told my church, you know when he did that rock? He said, move. Big old honking boulder, probably about the size of a truck. Move. And those men fainted, the Bible says, like dead men. Just fainted. That's probably what I'm going to do when I see Jesus fall out. I know some people are going to come like, what's up? What's happening? That's the way some folk act. Hey, what's up? You guy? You in my seat. Come on, man. I know some of them. They're arrogant and rude, nasty and mean. And all it is sin. Ain't nothing new. Ain't nothing new. Your sin ain't nothing new. Your sin don't make God go, oh, did you say that? I can't believe he did that. Oh, yes, he can. Has it ever occurred to you? Nothing's ever occurred to God. He already knows. God's love is amazing. It's just flat reason for nothing else is that he would say to me, I will save you and set you free. There's another thing you need to know. Knowledge is God's word amazing, God's love amazing, but it's available. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. And he didn't say, I will be the door. One day I'm going to try to be the door. I was the door. Not one day, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but I am the door right now. Jesus said today, this second, I am the door. Don't get caught outside of that door. I just did a death notification, which is what I do with the Georgia State Patrol and Glenn County Police Department and the Sheriff's Office, etc. Woman and her 13-year-old son going down the road. Young man in a white truck, he coming down the road. He's drinking. He crossed over. They hit headlight to headlight on the driver's side. Killed the woman, killed the young man, and this young man, the small one, went to the hospital almost dead. There was Girl Scout cookie boxes all over the place, a seat in there for a little child. Bless God. Thank God she wasn't in there. And I had to tell those families that those loved ones were dead. You know what I got to thinking later on, Brother Steve, as I was headed home? Man, they were headed to the house, one or two of them. I'll bet the son was on the phone. She may have been talking on the phone. The music was probably playing. They were probably having some conversation, probably not much. It's 13-year-old boy. I mean, hello, come on. But they're going to the house to watch The Voice or to watch whatever. They're going to cook supper. They're going to do their homework. They're going to get their clothes ready for tomorrow. And in 1 second, boom, it's over. I'm going to tell you something. I've done thousands of these, and it hit me as I was driving home. I had to pull my car over. I said, Lord, how, I don't even know what the word is, how incomprehensible is it to be viable and live and productive and living on this planet and having loved ones and having friends and having relationships, and in 1 second, you're gone. I was going to New Orleans to do a revival, and the preacher picked me up. He said, me and my friend Tim Williams, we're going to go to this man's house in our church. You're going to stay with him. And I was like, okay, man, because I get kind of a little weird about some of that stuff. You never know. Who are you? Because he dropped us off and left. Like, who are you guys? I said, oh, Lord. Knocked on the door. He opened and said, oh, Tim Williams, Randy Lamb. Oh, praise God, you know who we are, man. Come on in, boys. He said, come on, follow me. Put your room here, close it here, Randy. Brother Randy, put your room here with all the hats. Tim was like, woo, all the hats, man, trophies. That's your son's room. He said, I don't want to, I ain't getting your kid mad at me all week, man. He said, it's okay, man, it's okay. And he walked off. Go back in, we sat down, and Tim says, hey, man, listen, I don't want to kick your son out of his room this week. Man, he's going to be mad at me all week. He said, Brother Tim, it's okay. And the wife got up and left, gets some tea. And she's fidgeting and making noises. Something ain't right. A few minutes, he said, Tim, I need to tell you about my son, Ryan. He said, Ryan was an all-star, all-state, all-conference running back for our football team. LSU had already started recruiting him in the 11th grade. When he was a senior, man, he was absolutely could have been signed if the NCAA would have allowed it. They'd have signed him in the beginning of 12th grade. He said, we never went to church. I never went to church, never took my kids to church, never was involved in church, didn't care about church. One day, somebody knocked on the door. It was a preacher. My wife let him in. I was mad at her for a week. But I got to thinking, well, maybe he wants me to build him a church because he was a contractor. He said, come on in. Yeah, come on in, man. So the preacher began to talk and share the gospel. And guess what? In a few minutes, that big old man's tears began to run down his face. And that wife's tears were running down her face. And both of them folk received Jesus as their Savior. And he said, man, I tell you, I cannot wait until my son gets home to hear what you have to say. So his son came home a little while. He said, son, come here, sit down. I want to talk to you, man. I want to tell you about something. And he said, listen, the preacher came by today. And Ron said, really, the preacher? Yeah, man, he came in and he talked to you, me and your mom, and he had this stuff in the Bible, and man, he was so on point, and I could feel God's presence, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and mom did the same thing. Ryan, we want you to talk to this preacher. He said, oh, Dad, it's cool, man, I appreciate it, but I really got stuff to do, man. I'll see y'all later. Down the hall he went. Over and over and over and over, he tried agonizing to get that young man to receive Jesus as his Savior. One night, that young man run for over 130 yards. Man, he run up and down that field like there was nobody in the place. And later he came to the house. Dad said, I saw him at the house, got a shower, changed clothes, put his hat on out the door. Hey, son, don't forget, I want to talk to you about something. Yeah, Dad, I got it. Later, Dad, we'll get it later. Some of the teenagers remember seeing him sitting on the car at McDonald's and drinking. They were having a big time doing their thing. Going around a curve about 80 miles an hour, he flipped that car and killed his best friend, and Ryan was on a ventilator. They called that dad, he said, tears beginning to run down his face. He said, they called me. He said, get up here now. He's not good, but maybe you can get a word with him before he dies. Get up here now. And he ran to the car, drove fast to the hospital, run into the hospital. Got to that young man's side. Blood and glass and grass all over him. They said we're basically keeping him alive. I don't think he can hear you, but maybe. The dad reached over there to his side. He said, he reached over there and grabbed that young man's hand, and he said, son, this is Dad. This is Dad. He said, son, listen to me. Just say, Jesus, save me. Just say, come on, son, just say, Jesus, save me. And that's all you got to do, son. Say, Jesus, save me. He didn't blink. He didn't squeeze my hand. He didn't make a move. Now this father's boo-hooing, sobbing. He said, I watched my son flatline and go into eternity, most likely to hell. His chance was over. The availability. I had a friend in Houston, Texas, who went to a party. Young lady, she got in some stuff in her drink that literally put her in a seizure and fried her brain. And all the kids that were in the youth group that were at the party, which probably shouldn't have been, they got around and started praying, Lord, please be with Sherry. God, please don't let Sherry die. God, don't let Sherry die. Lord, help her, help the doctors. And they went on. Guess what? I got good news. Sherry didn't die. Amen. But Sherry sits in a home in Houston, Texas. She can't eat. They have to feed her. She can't clean herself. They have to clean her. Can't take a shower, can't walk, can't talk. And Sherry couldn't ask Jesus Christ into her heart if she wanted to. Your availability is here right now, right this second. It may be here tomorrow. Don't count on it. I can tell you hundreds of stories. I never forget one particular short one where I stopped at a man's house to tell him his wife has been killed in a wreck. She swerved to miss a dog, went over into the ditch and hit a tree, broke her neck instantly. I get to the house, all the lights are on, the garage door's up, you can smell the supper's been cooking. I knocked on the door and I said, sir, I need to talk to you about your wife. He said, oh, she just ran to the store, she'll be right back. I said, no, she won't. He said, what are you talking about? I said, sir, I need to talk to you. Sit down. I said, your wife was driving, swerved to miss a dog, ran off the road, hit a tree, and it killed her instantly. He said, no. She went to get some milk for the macaroni and cheese. She just ran to the store. I said, yes, sir, I know. But she's not coming back. I could stand here all day I'm telling you, God's love is amazing. It is amazing to me that God still continues to extend that gift of salvation to us. But it's also available. But you better hear me right now. It is available right now. It may not be available in an hour from now. It may not be available tonight. It may not be available tomorrow or the next day. It may be, but don't count on it. There's a third thing you need to know. God's love is amazing. God's love is available. But God's love is the answer. It's the answer. Now, I don't care what Dr. Phil or Dr. Ruth or Dr. Dre or Dr. Doolittle or any of them folks say. I don't care what they say. I know what Dr. Jesus says. Amen? Dr. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's it, my friend. There is no other answer. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can go look for you another church or another pastor or another wife or another husband or another job or some more kids or a different this or a different that. You can gather under yourself all the junk in the world. That's not going to fill up the emptiness that is inside your soul. And my friend, that's like one of these wounds now that they do. They cut my foot open, man. I had a big old hole in the bottom of that foot. That's not good for a diabetic. You can lose them. It's big around as a quarter, about 3/4 of an inch deep. And that old boy took an X-Acto knife. I saw him grab that X-Acto knife. I thought, uh-oh. This is not good. That's like the lady told me I had some skin cancer on my arm. She said, we're going to do a scrape and burn. I said, girl, that don't sound good. Sound like something we used to do on the bicycle out on the hard road. And Curacomb. Me, y'all remember Curacomb. Methylate, amen? Mama grab that red bottle. No, we'd be crying before she put on. No, mama, no, it's okay. I ain't touched you yet. You have to cut that stuff out to get that, and it starts healing from the inside out. That's what God does, amen? Dr. Jesus will heal you on the inside, and it'll work its way out to your old nasty old carcass on the outside and make this look like. I ain't kidding you. I've seen them in church. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen? Yeah. Bless God. And most of them are sitting on the front row. So I just walk out ahead of them, behind them. They have to turn and look at me. Hope they get a crick in the neck. Amen? God's love is the answer. I want you to understand very quickly. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, as I told you, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got to have a AA or a PhD, pile higher and deeper, whatever you've gotten trained in to understand Jesus said, I am the way. It's just not that hard to figure out. It's not DNA sequencing, amen? Come on. It's like the works thing. Bless God, I have been preaching that for 35 years. It's not what you do to get to heaven. It's who you get that gets you to heaven. And people are still working themselves like a dog or a slave in the church to get to heaven. And they'll stick their accolades up to you and all their accomplishments. It's kind of like the guy that hit the ball, ninth inning, it's 2-3, man. If this guy can get around that base, it'll tie up. They'll go in extra innings. He hit that ball to the wall. He took off running. He came around and was that far ahead of the throw. And the ump said, you out. Well, he jumped up, started kicking, cussing, throwing stuff. What's the problem? And he looked out to the field, and the second base umpire said, didn't touch second base. You got to have all the bases. You got to have everything from the repentance to the recognition, the realization to the receiving of Christ and the reward. All of that comes into play. But it starts with you. The Bible says in Romans, you know this. Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that, as I said a while ago, it's by one man sin entered the world, and so sin was passed to every man. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means you've missed the mark. You cannot go to heaven with this nasty body. God don't want it yet. He'll come back in the rapture, mind, if we're in the resurrection. But he does not want it. He wants the soul, the suke. The Bible says it's got a problem. It's got a sin nature. The Bible says also that the wages of sin is death. Some folk like to skip over that. That means what you earn by having a sin nature and not doing something about it gets you hell. Physical death, spiritual death. You better hear me today. God is the answer. God's love is the only thing you need, my friend. It's there. It's for you. It is the answer. But then it also says in Romans chapter 5, while we were yet sinners, not when we got straightened out, not when we cleaned things up. I've heard people say that 100 times. Well, I just got to get some things cleaned up. No, my friend. You got to let Jesus Christ clean you up. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You say, man, what are you jumping around screaming about? This cites me. I got saved in 1989 from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. My friend, I've been saved ever since. Not one time in my life have I ever thought, oh, I wonder if I'm saved. God saved me, not me. God keeps me saved, not me. I study his word, and it tells me I'm saved. I don't always feel saved. That's kind of like eating a bunch of tacos. You eat a bunch of tacos, you're going to have a feeling. And there are some steps you can take to get rid of that feeling, amen? And then you're going to feel better, hopefully. That Bible says that I have been born again. Just what he told Nicodemus. What I got to do, God? Go to heaven. Got to be born again, huh? Got to go back to my mother's womb? No, son, you got to be born of water and of blood, of the Spirit. And that's what he did, and that's what I did, and that's what some of you have done. But some of you have not done that. And the best part of Romans is this. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what you do. You believe Jesus Christ. You don't see him. You believe him. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You share, you confess what you believe. Then he says it again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's love is amazing today. God's love is available. God's love is the answer. But the last thing I want you to know, and I'm going to hurry, God's love is all you need. Like I said, you don't need something else. You don't need another Bible study, another drink, another drug. You don't need anything else, my friend. You need to get Jesus Christ. God doesn't want your time. He doesn't want your talent. He doesn't want your time. If he don't have you, he wants you. He called you. He will save you. He died for you. It is a personal relationship, but it's more so a public relationship. Today, Jesus Christ will come into your life, but you have to recognize the fact that you're saved, that you're lost. You have to repent of your sins. In other words, you got to turn your back on sin and walk away from it. My friend, that, you have to have help with that. You have to receive God's gift. That's what Christ did on the cross. You have to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, you have to realize who you are in Jesus after that, and you will receive your reward. Trust me. I'm counting on it, my friend. I'm believing it. I'm trusting it. I'm leaning on it. All this traveling around and doing the things we've gone through and liver and the kidney and all the stuff. My goodness, my friend, for what? To serve God. God's love is amazing. If it doesn't amaze you, my friend, I don't think you got it. God's love is available to you right now if you'll receive it. God's love, it's the answer. Stop looking on that stupid little phone. Get your head out of the phone and other places, and put it on Jesus, because he's all you need. Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Very simple message. There's no other way. Is there? Is there another way to get to heaven? If there is, you tell. Stand up and tell me about it right now. I want to hear it. It's absolutely all you will ever need. And if you'll receive him tonight, today, I mean, right now, this moment. The Bible says he'll come into your life. What I say, well, I go about, I am the door. The Bible says if you'll open that door, he's He's knocking on your heart's door. I saw a picture of a heart's door one time. That heart's door had no handle on the inside. Jesus was standing there, no handle. I thought, that's weird. The handle was on your side. You have to open the door. My friend, if you can't see that this planet is evil and wicked and nasty, then there's something bad wrong with you. And I want you to understand this. Right there where you sit today, not down here, not in another room, but right where you sit today, you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, Brother Andy, I walked the aisle a long time ago. I ain't talking about walking no aisle. I walked up and down this aisle about 10 times a day already. Didn't change me. I didn't bring revival. The preacher didn't go order it at Target or Walmart. My friend, Jesus brings revival, and it starts in your heart. You'll have to receive him today. That's the plain truth. You'll have to ask him to come into your heart. That's the plain truth. You'll have to surrender to him. That is the absolute truth. If you'll do that today, my friend, he'll come into your heart, and he'll set you free from all that junk that you can't figure out. I had a man that said, well, I got to get some things straightened out. I said, man, you're 45 years old, so you mean to tell me in 45 years you couldn't get all this mess in your life straightened up? You think another 45 is going to do it? He just looked at me. I said, no, it's not. You got to let Jesus have it. I don't know what it is, my friend, but it's eating your lunch. Some of you that are born again in here, my friend, we talked about how amazing, how glorious. And come on, man, y'all, what? Yeah, okay, it's glorious, it's amazing. No, my friend, it ought to make you jump and shout and run around this place. I wonder sometimes what folk have. I was a lost church member, 27 years. I was a lost minister of music and youth for about 10 years. And I finally realized that my condition was not what I was claiming it was. And I had to surrender to Christ and ask Jesus to come into my heart. Right there where you sit, not down here in another room, but right where you sit. If you'd be honest today, say, Brother Andy, I need to get saved today. I need to let Jesus come into my heart. I need that answer. I know his love's amazing. I know it's available to me right now. And Brother Andy, I didn't come into this place by accident. I came because God brought me here. And I need to get this. Great. I want to pray for you, but I don't know who to pray for. So right there where you sit, if you'd be honest. Honest with me, honest with yourself. Right now, my friend, just be honest. Nobody's going to call you out, sir, with your pride and your ego, ma'am, with your fear and your anxiety. Student, with your cockiness and you got it all together. God will set you free. God will set you free. I know. He had to set me free from a whole bunch of junk. That thing I talked about in school, that was just the beginning. It got worse and worse and worse and worse. But here I am. Been through a liver transplant, been through a kidney transplant 6 months ago. I ain't kicking high, but I'm kicking. Here I am because God said, you will be here. Today you're here because God said, you will be here. And you can be saved. Brother Andy, I need to be saved. I want to pray for you, but I don't know who to pray for. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want to pray for you. I just don't know who to pray for. He said, Brother Andy, you sure God will save me? I know he will. Brother Andy, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know. God knows. Already God knows. God knew from the beginning of time what you were going to be, what you were going to do, where you're going to be on this day at this moment. That's the kind of God he is. Today, he will come into your heart and save you, but you have to ask him. Brother Andy, I need to be saved. Right there where you sit, if you'd be honest, don't be afraid. I'm not going to call you out. Brother, I need to let Jesus come into my heart. I want to pray for you, but I don't know who to pray for. So if you'd be honest and say, that's me, would you slip your hand up real quick around and see it? Slip it up real high. Brother Andy, pray for me. I need Jesus. Slip your hand up. Can I see it? Is there one? I see it. Praise the Lord. Someone else? I see it. Thank you. Just slip it up high. There you go. Thank you. Anyone else? Brother Andy, don't forget me. I see it. Thank you. Brother Andy, don't forget me. Slip it up. I see it. I see it. Come on. Slip it up. Slip it up. Put it down. Anyone else? Brother Andy, I see you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else, unless you've already raised it. Brother Andy, don't forget me. Pray for me, Brother Andy. I need to be saved today. Slip it up very quickly before we pray. I see it. Praise the Lord. Anyone else, very quickly. Anyone else, very quickly. Slip it up. Put it down. I see it. Praise the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for these. I don't know how many. Maybe you raised your hand, but maybe you didn't. But before I pray for you, let me tell you this. Today, I want to lead you in a prayer where you right there sitting in that seat can let Jesus come into your heart once and for all. This isn't something you do every week. You don't get born every week. You don't get born again every week. You do it once. I'm going to pray for you like I promised. But then I want to lead you in that prayer where you sitting right there can pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart like Jesus came into my heart. You said, Brother, are you sure you'll say me? I'm sure. You said, Brother Randy, I didn't raise my hand. If you need to pray, even if you didn't raise your hand, pray this prayer. Let me pray for you like I promised, but then I'd like to lead you in that prayer. Father, thank you now for this time that we've had together today. Thank you for your precious spirit. Thank you for the wonderful word of God that tells us the truth. Doesn't hold back, doesn't mess around, don't beat around the bush. It tells us the truth. And God, you said one day you're coming. And when that time comes, God, it will be over. There will be no more chances to do what we're doing today. Never again. God, I pray you open hearts today. Every heart that raised their hand, every heart that did not raise their hand, God, I pray you'd open it right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you raised your hand, you need to pray this prayer. You didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, if I say his name. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that you love me. I know you died for me. I know you rose for me. And I know you're coming to get me one day. Jesus, I ask you right now, the best way I know how, to come into my life, to come into my heart, and to save me right now. Jesus, I repent of my sin. A while ago I said, you turn your back on sin. That's what repent means. You turn your back with the help of the Holy Spirit that's going to come into your heart in just a second when you finish this prayer. Actually, he's already come into your heart, my friend, because the moment you said, I'm saying this prayer, you surrender to Christ. The Holy Ghost will help you turn your back on sin. Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn my back on my sin, and I lay my sin at the foot of the cross. Jesus, I ask you right now to take complete control of me. I surrender all to you, Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You prayed that prayer. You meant that prayer. You wouldn't play no games. You prayed because you wanted to, because you needed to. Say this, say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's looking. Again, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Never do that. But if you prayed that prayer, you meant that prayer, you weren't playing games, it's not a joke, you meant it with all your heart, would you do me the privilege one more time of just raising your hand up where I can see it? Brother, and I prayed that prayer. Slip it up. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see them all in this room, everywhere. Now listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. You can put them down. In just a moment, Brother Steve's going to stand up front. I'm going to ask you to make it public. I talked a while ago about not having a personal relationship. You've already done that. Now it needs to be a public relationship. We're not going to make you say your ABCs backwards. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to get some information from you, make sure you understand what you did, ask you some questions that you may need answering. But I'm going to ask you. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me on this earth, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. What does that mean? Come forward. Make it public. We will hug your neck in a moment. We will talk with you, pray with you, and make sure you understand. But you need to make it public. My friend, it's no good if you don't make it public. In a moment when we stand, I'm going to ask you to jump out of that seat. Don't wait. I walk the aisle. Everybody in this room that's been saved, walk the aisle. Even if you have a question, you come down here. If you just need to ask a question, you come down here. Wait in a line if you have to, and Brother Steve will do that and help you. Some of you need to come today and say, God, I know your love's amazing. I know it's available. I know it's the answer, and it's all I need. But God, I've been looking at some other stuff. I've been leaning on some other stuff. I've been searching for some other stuff. And God, I just need to get back to Bethel and get back to the Word of God. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I don't feel that revival today. Maybe you need to come and ask God to put a fire in your soul, in your spirit, and get your friends to the church this week. We're going to stand in a second. These folk are just going to begin to play. I'm going to ask you to come. My brother Steve's standing down front. Come on, brother. Would you stand to your feet right now? Come on. They're playing. You step out right now. Stand to your feet all over this building. Come on. Stand together. Step out right now. Come on. Meet him right here. Who'll be first?